Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. On today's episode of the show, we are going to talk about the most disappointing movies of 2024. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com. I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
Editor and chief film critic Chris Evangelista.
Hello.
And staff writer Nina Starner.
Hey, hey.
All right, Jacob, the floor is yours.
All right, so if you're jumping into this right now without listening to the past 2 days, here's what we're doing. We're showing our homework. We're letting you listen into the conversations where we determine our end of year lists. And you're going to hear, you know, the discussions, the fights, the agreements, you know, why certain things made it, why things got cut, and so on. And we traditionally do not do worst of lists at Slash Film. They're useless for reasons we'll get to in a second. But as our own Chris Evangelista pointed out in our work Slack the other day, most disappointing lists are far more interesting. And that ignited us to do a most disappointing films of 2024 list. Chris, I want you to explain your reasoning, because you explained it well in a written form, about why a disappointing list is interesting, whereas a worse list is useless.
Yeah, and I want to underscore that before we get any further, listeners. This is not a worst of the year list. I think a lot of the movies on this list, they're not even that bad per se. It's more that they're movies that had a lot of potential and they ultimately let us down. You know, there are movies on this list that I was genuinely looking forward to, and movies on this list that other people, some of whom are actually on this podcast, told me were really good. So I went into them like really hyped up, and they ultimately just let me down for one reason or another. Again, I'm not saying these are bad movies, although I do think some of them are bad. But I don't think worst of lists are generally interesting. And I know that might be a minority opinion, because a lot of sites do worst of lists, and I'm sure they get a lot of clicks because there's a sort of enjoyment in reading about something that's bad. But I just find worst of lists kind of uninteresting. I'm a lot more interested in movies that had potential and didn't quite get to where they needed to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the problem with worst of lists is that most people do not see the actual worst films of the year. So it ends up people putting, it's like the Razzies. The Razzies suck because all they do is like, what is the most middle brow, below average studio film of the year? And can we kick at it? I mean, there's the actual worst films of the year don't get written about, don't get seen, and the list just feels worthless. Whereas looking at this list is interesting, because there are films in our nominations list for most disappointing movies that I think are really, really good, and I would actually argue shouldn't be on this list, but they let somebody else out the site down. And there's actually going to be, in fact, one of the films nominated here is like near number one on one of our staff's lists. So things, I don't know if things get spicy over this conversation or not, but I do think that you're going to hear some movies in here that will make you go, what? And some that'll make you nod your head, you know, but we'll get into it. So I'm going to read the whole list to start. And like I said, some of these we even discussed yesterday. Let's put it this way. If you listen to our list yesterday, the number one on that list was nominated for most disappointing by somebody on Slash Film. So like I said, it's going to be very interesting. So here's the whole list in alphabetical order. Abigail, Alien Romulus, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Blitz, Cuckoo, Deadpool and Wolverine, Drive Away Dolls, The Fall Guy, Gladiator 2, Here, Hitman, Joker 2, Juror Number 2, Kinds of Kindness, Long Legs, Maxine, Megalopolis, Monkey Man, Night Bitch, Queer, Rebel Ridge, Salem's Lot, Saturday Night, The Strangers Chapter 1, The Substance, Twisters, VHS Beyond, and Wolves. All right. This is normally a point in the podcast where I let somebody else speak first, but I'm going to be very selfish and speak first this time, because I think that there is one movie on this list that should be mentioned first. And quite frankly, I'll lead here. I'll say it out front. should be number one on the list. Should I just go ahead and do it, guys?
Do it. Yeah,
let's hear you
it.
Might as well.
Do it.
Gladiator 2, the most disappointing film of 2024. I don't even hate it. I think it's fine. It's a 6 out of 10 movie. I liked watching it. There are parts of it I think are really fun. But 25 years to follow up one of the most monumental and popular and, like, I'll say the word, iconic historical action films in Hollywood history, and this is a script they shoot. And Paul Mescal, who is a good actor, just being unable to hold a candle to what Russell Crowe did in the first one. A movie so obsessed with the first film that all it can do is talk about Maximus the entire damn time without giving us a character as compelling or as likable as Maximus was. This film is not bad. It's too well made to be bad, but it's a profound disappointment. I left this theater really, really sad that this was Gladiator 2. And I don't think any other film on this list made me as bummed out as Gladiator 2. I think if it's not number one, it's near the very top of this list. It has got to be on it.
All right, so what do we do now?
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to push back against that one because I feel very similarly. Like, I had a lot of fun with this movie, and I'm not disappointed by having seen it by any means. But as far as it's concerned of being a sequel to a movie that I love, yeah, absolutely disappointing.
I have a sort of counter to this. I don't disagree with anything you just said, Jacob, but am I the only one who didn't have high expectations for Gladiator 2? I feel like that's why I didn't include it when I was adding movies to this list, because I had very low expectations for this, because I'm just going to say it. I don't think the original Gladiator is that good. I think it's a very entertaining B movie that just happened to win a lot of Oscars because DreamWorks ran a really good campaign for it. I think it's a very entertaining B movie. I don't think it's great. It would, like, if I were making a list of best Ridley Scott movies, I don't think it would even make the list. So that's why
I haven't seen it yet, so I should say that first. But I did see, like, the news that somebody would be reading a newspaper in the movie, even though the printing press wasn't around for like 1,200 more years after the timeline that the movie is set in. So I think, like, that kind of sums up how I feel about Gladiator 2, is like, Ridley Scott does not give a flying fart anymore about a lot of stuff. And I think, like, expecting, like, even close to the quality of the first Gladiator movie, which I agree with Chris, is like, maybe not as good as we want to remember it. Still good, but not as good. I think, yeah, like, that makes sense to me, that maybe can it be disappointing if the expectation should have been lower in the first place?
I don't care about historical accuracy. I care about, like, coherent storytelling and a good script and a protagonist I care about. And none of that's here. I mean, on the page, Maximus is a flat character, but Russell Crowe brings so much life to him. He commands that movie. And Paul Mescal, bless him, he's a good actor and other things, just an absolute lifeless hunk of handsome meat in this movie. Is anybody here opposed to Gladiator 2 making this, like, straight up, like, no, it's Gladiator 2 is not disappointing enough? I understand if you don't like Gladiator 1, it's fine. I think Gladiator 1 holds up. I love that movie, and I think it's terrific and still terrific. But yeah, I guess I had really high hopes for this to be a good movie, and Sir Ridley let me down again twice in a row now after Napoleon.
I had high hopes for this one too, Jacob, if that means anything. So I think this should definitely be on the list. But if there's anybody, yeah, like Jacob said, who feels super strongly that it should not be there, I want to hear from you.
I'm going to take the dead air to signify that we're locking this one in. All right, Gladiator 2, you're on the list. Ben, what should be, what disappointed you the most?
I was really going back and forth about putting Megalopolis on this list, and somebody else wrote it in for me, and I was trying to decide, like Chris said, in terms of expectations, like, did I really expect Megalopolis to be genuinely great, or did I expect it to be a weird, bizarre sort of off the deep end exploration of these grand ambitions and ideas that Francis Ford Coppola has late in his life and career? And so because the movie didn't turn out well, I just don't know if it's like, is this truly one of the most disappointing movies of the year? I don't know. I guess maybe let's use this as an opportunity to have the Megalopolis conversation.
I think this movie is really boring. Like, it would be one thing if it was a trash fire that was entertaining and full of grand ideas and had like visually splendid filmmaking trying to anchor, you know, bizarre ideas. But this is, it feels amateur hour. Coppola's lost it. I don't think the movie's remotely interesting. I don't think it has anything unique to say. I was hoping for a fiasco, a terrific, amazing career ending. I'm going down guns blazing fiasco, but it's just boring nonsense. For me, Megalopolis belongs on this list because I didn't want a disaster. I wanted a fiasco. Fiasco is good. Disaster is bad. And this is a disaster.
Oh, that's such a great way of framing it because I felt similarly. I had low expectations for this movie to be good, but I was hoping for at least an entertaining just mess. And instead, I just got a mess that I feel like I have to clean, not even one that I can like revel in. And that's not fun.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with you guys. So maybe it should be on this list. So I guess I'll say Megalopolis. That's what my first nomination is going to be.
Is anybody here? Chris, I think you were warmer on this than we are. I remember you saying it was at least worth seeing. Do you have a stake in this one?
Man, you know, I'm the wrong guy for this podcast because I don't like to argue. I know some people really love arguing. It's like their thing. And I avoid any sort of confrontation at all. I just leave me alone in my little corner where I will die someday.
Chris, you can at me. It's okay. Chris. My feelings will be hurt.
Confront me. It's fine. We're all friends here.
This movie is a mess, but I think it's a very interesting mess. And I would rather have a world where Francis Ford Coppola sells part of his winery to make his dream movie. And his dream movie turns out to be a future where there are airport walkways everywhere. I would rather live in that world than any other world. Like, especially the way Hollywood is now, like just today in our Slack, I shared a story. They're making a new Fockers movie. It's like, Jesus Christ, like how bankrupt is Hollywood that like this is what we're getting? Like Ben Stiller's coming back for another Fockers movie. Like I hope I die before that movie gets made. I don't like, give a shit about a new Fockers movie. I would much rather live in the world where Francis Ford Coppola self-finances a big goofy movie that you kind of need like an index to really understand. So that's my plea for Megalopolis. I kind of don't want it to be on the list. I feel like Francis Ford Coppola has sort of like earned the benefit of the doubt to make a swing and a miss like this. I'm not going to say it's a good movie. I'm glad it exists. So that's my take on it.
All right. Man, it's hard to argue with that. I don't know. What do you think, Jacob?
I think we can table it for now. Let's put Megalopolis in our in discussion section. Ben, is there another one on this list that you feel like you can circle back on and maybe lock down?
There definitely is, and it's Steve McQueen's Blitz. I talked about this not too long ago on the podcast, and just in terms of like the potential that I think this movie had versus what came out in the final product, I think that there's a pretty huge gulf between those two things. This is the movie that's on Apple TV Plus right now. It stars Saoirse Ronan as a mom during World War II who has to send her young child away during the Blitz in London, and it is just... it just kind of feels anonymous, kind of just feels like almost anyone could have made this movie, which is just not something that I would expect to say about a Steve McQueen film. So I was very disappointed with this one. Not that it was, again, not that it was a terrible movie. It was just kind of like, huh, all right, well, that's a thing, I guess. So that was one of the first ones that jumped to mind when we started crafting the initial list for this conversation.
Yeah, a Steve McQueen movie making you go, huh, is such a powerful negative feeling deep in my gut. I was expecting you to nominate Blitz first, so I kind of think that this should be on the list.
Did anyone else here see Blitz?
What if I told you I didn't finish it because I was bored to tears and so disappointed because I think Small Axe is one of the best things to come out in the last decade. And then I was like, I can't even get through it. I'm sorry. I'm a bad critic for not finishing it. But that's what happens when something's on Apple TV Plus and I have that option.
I also did not finish it. And I might not be alone in this in the chat. I may be. Who knows? I'm a huge Widows defender. I think that movie got way less play than it should have.
Widows rules.
Widows rules. And I love him as a director. I think the person who summed it up best was the person who reviewed it for Vulture. I just remember seeing the headline and it was like, it's his worst movie, which still makes it a decent movie in the grand scheme of film. But it is McQueen's worst movie. I expected a lot more. And I'm a huge Saoirse Ronan fan. The fact that she doesn't have an armload of Oscars is offensive to me personally. So, like, I just, yeah, this is a bummer. I think it goes on the list.
Yeah, a Steve McQueen movie that we're not raving about is, look, like, Nina, you're on a pro Widows podcast. Everyone here likes Widows. Everyone here likes
Steve McQueen.
Even, like, you know, look, 12 Years a Slave is a great friggin' movie. And I know it's a movie that like people seem to have strong feelings on one way or the other, but like, the movie is incredible. And I have more mixed feelings on Shame, but I think Shame is at least really well-made and interesting. I could talk a lot about Shame, about why I have complex feelings on it, but something like Blitz doesn't even have that. Like, Ben struggles to like explain Blitz, and I already feel myself kind of nodding off a little bit.
Yeah, I think we got to put it on there.
Yeah. All right, Chris. You're the one who created this list, so now it's your turn to nominate something.
All right. The one I really would like to be on this list is Beetlejuice. So some context. I was a very lonely goth kid, and Tim Burton, when I was younger, was like, my God. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I love Tim Burton, you know. And at some point, Tim Burton lost me. I think it was around – like, I think Tim Burton's last great movie – is Ed Wood. I think his last good movie is Big Fish. And I think everything after that is just bad. And so I will say, when this got announced, I was initially like, well, that probably won't be good because it's a Tim Burton movie and Tim Burton hasn't been good in years. But call it nostalgia, call it whatever you will, I started to get a little excited for this. I was like, all right, everyone's coming back. Almost everyone is coming back. You know, I love me some Michael Keaton in Beetlejuice mode. That's exciting. And several people who got to see this early were like, Tim Burton is back. Tim Burton has made his first good movie in a long time. It's fun.
You can say my name, Chris. You can say Jacob did this.
I don't want to just single you out, Jacob. There's a lot, like, you're not alone here. A lot of people said this. A lot of people were very pro Beetlejuice. And so I finally sat down to watch it. And I was just aghast. I want to say I hated this movie. First of all, it doesn't feel like a movie. It feels like a collection of really hacky bits. Like, there's a Soul Train joke. Like, what are we doing here? And I just found it incredibly unfunny. No one in this movie acts like they acted in the original movie, which I found like disorienting. I get that the Lydia character is supposed to be a changed character in this movie, but she behaves absolutely nothing like she behaved in the original movie, which just seems kind of like to defeat the purpose of bringing her back. Like, why is she back if she's not the Lydia we know and love? There's a sequence at the end of this movie where they do like the entirety of MacArthur Park, and it goes on for 45 fucking years. I wanted it to end, and it would not end. And I just sat there like stunned as I watched this movie. There's this entire subplot with Monica Bellucci. And look, I get it. Tim Burton is dating Monica Bellucci. Maybe they're married. I don't even know what they are. They're a couple. So look, if I was in a relationship with Monica Bellucci, I too would want to put her in a movie and be like, look at how hot Monica Bellucci is. Like, I get it, but it goes absolutely nowhere. It feels completely pointless. I just, this movie really bummed me out. And I think it did not help that I watched the original Beetlejuice before I watched this to, like, you know, refreshen myself. And that original movie holds up, man. That's a good movie. And it just really bummed me out that this was just bad from top to bottom. I'll say I'm glad that I had a lot of practical makeup effects in it. That's a plus, I can say. Like, that was cool to see. But other than that, this list let me down big time. And this would probably be like my number one biggest disappointment.
I think it should be. Look, I am pro Beetlejuice 2. I like this movie, but you are far from alone in this reaction. I feel people are pretty split between, yeah, it was good, and then your reaction. So I will not stand in the way of this making the list. I will gracefully allow Beetlejuice, even though I think it's a 7 out of 10 movie, onto this list.
I also like it more than Chris, but definitely think it belongs on this list. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp there. I liked this movie on initial reaction. I think I was just like so excited for it that it was like, oh, this is great. And then I've sat with it longer, rewatched it later with other people, and I'm like, no, I'll probably never rewatch this movie ever again. Whereas Beetlejuice, I rewatch probably yearly.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly fine. It doesn't feel like it's as good as a movie should be for a sequel that is coming 30 years later and for which there's been so much excitement and hype around. But like to further hit the point home, even for like general audiences, is my mom loves the original Beetlejuice, and we sat down so that she could see the sequel, and she made it about half an hour in and she just wasn't interested anymore.
All right. Beetlejuice is on the list. Nina, what do you nominate?
I have no idea if I'm going to catch heat for this one, so here goes. I put Kinds of Kindness on the list. And I think that I picked this because I went to see this in theaters. I loved Poor Things. I love Emma Stone. I love her work with Yorgos Lanthimos. I don't think that's going to be an unpopular opinion in this group. But I went to see Kinds of Kindness. I like what he was going for. You know, it's tough because it's like Chris was saying about... or who was talking about Megalopolis and they're glad that someone can take big swings. I think it was Chris. Yeah. And like, I love when a director has the freedom to make what is basically like, this is a movie for the sickos, right? This is a movie for the weird people. I love that. I love that he has the creative freedom to do that and keep working with Emma Stone and a solid cast of characters. But I didn't leave that movie like I left The Favorite or Poor Things or any of Lanthimos' other movies thinking about it. It kind of happened to me and then I went home and I never thought about it again. And to me, that is disappointing because I wanted it to provoke something. I wanted to read think pieces about it. I wanted to write think pieces about it. And I feel like it was such a flash in the pan that that makes it disappointing to me.
Yeah, I mean, this movie came and went. I mean, Poor Things was not only a critical hit, it was a box office hit. It won Oscars and you know, I love Lanthimos. I've loved him since the Dogtooth days. Like, I'm the guy. So it's one of the cases where it's like, the fact this came and went with such ferocity is a bummer. And the movie itself, it's really hard to stand up for and explain, oh, this is what... I feel like every single one of those movies has been like a step forward for him as a filmmaker. He's doing something new and interesting. I mean, you don't make Poor Things unless you've made The Favorite. You don't make The Favorite unless you've made, you know, Lobster and so on. I generally felt he was like really stretching, exploring, whereas this feels like a half-assed victory lap.
Yeah, it feels a little comfortable for him, which is, I mean, this would be a totally batshit crazy movie from literally any other filmmaker, but from Lanthimos, I'm like, okay, sure. And again, the fact that it was a forgettable Yorgos Lanthimos movie feels rough to me. Again, not a bad movie, a well-made, well-cast, well-acted movie, but I'm disappointed that it had such a tiny cultural footprint.
All right. Is anybody here a Kinds of Kindness fan willing to go to bat for it?
I mean, I like the movie more than most, but when the Golden Globe announcements came out and Jesse Plemons got one, I went, oh, that's right. That movie came out this year. So that
exactly.
I think that speaks volumes compared to like last year where everybody was talking about Poor Things nonstop.
I think it's on the list, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, BJ, it's your turn. What do you nominate?
All right. So I also just want to say, let the record state that there are multiple films nominated for here that are on my like favorites of the list or favorites of the year. But that will be something that I will deal with later. But the movie I'm actually going to nominate is Night Bitch. I was a lot more excited for this movie than I think most people were. But this movie is easily my most frustrating watch of the year, because the moments that are good, or the aspects of this movie that I love, especially Amy Adams's performance, I think are like fantastic. But this movie doesn't get as weird as it should with its premise. There is a constant voiceover happening that just feels like you're being hammered over the head with a message. And for everybody who complained about the one monologue in Barbie feeling heavy-handed, this is a whole fucking movie of just that monologue. And it is like, I feel like I'm being lectured. And because I am like the target demo for this movie, it feels like you're just yelling at people who already are on your side for like an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah, I was so disappointed with this movie. I wanted this to be awesome. I was really hoping, because I really like Marielle Heller as a director. I really wanted this to be awesome, and it just isn't. And it's such a bummer, because it's one of my favorite Amy Adams performances. I think this is a fearless performance, but it is trapped in this very disappointing movie.
Chris, I know you also felt similarly, right?
Yeah, I was really hyped for this. I love Amy Adams. I love Marielle Heller. I really liked Can You Ever Forgive Me? I think that's a fantastic movie. So I was really looking forward to this. And I'm right there with BJ. I think Amy Adams is great in this movie. She's really good. She's like the one reason to see the movie. But it's so clumsy, and that narration is so like grating. And the dialogue is like really on the nose. Like, there's literally a scene where Scoot McNairy, who plays Amy Adams' husband, comes in and he's like, "You know, you were a real bitch last night." And she goes, "Yeah, I guess I was. A night bitch." And I was like, oh my God. Like,
oh like, no, they didn't say the title of the movie.
He's not like, it's for real. A lot of it is like that, where you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, ah.
I'm so embarrassed for this movie right now.
Like, I sank it. Like, that happens early in the movie too. And I just like sank in my seat. And I was like, uh-oh. And yeah, it really did not. I wanted it to work. Like, anytime there's a movie called Night Bitch, I'm like, hell yeah, that's exciting. But no. Not a good movie.
Not to be this person, but has anyone read the book that it's based on?
So yes, I have read the book, because what happened is, when this movie got announced, I went, huh, that sounds a lot like the movie Bitch from 2017, which I've written about on Slash Film. And I wanted to know, like, okay, when did this book came out? And the book came out after Bitch the movie. So I was like, okay. So then I got the book, and it doesn't go as hard as the book does. Like, this is
What I haven't seen it yet, but like, the book is really unabashedly weird, and I really liked the book. I had a great time reading it. So when the movie got announced and I heard it was Amy Adams, I was pumped, and now I am ready to be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I reviewed this for Fangoria, not for Slash Film, and the way that I described it is, I said, "Night Bitch is the society expects too damn much of women horror film for folks who feel zen after watching organized refrigerator restock videos on TikTok and thought the substance was too extreme." And that is exactly what this movie is. It is body horror for wine moms, which, I mean, not body horror at all.
Damn, pull your punches, BJ. Or don't, actually.
I was so upset. I wanted this movie to kick ass, and it just didn't. And it sucks, because there are so many, like, it opens so strong. There's like this amazing monologue where someone asks Amy Adams, like, "It must be so nice to stay at home with your kid." And you get her like internal thought of like, "I'm in a hell of my own creation, and I can't even complain about it, and my life is miserable." And then it goes back to reality, and she's like, "Oh yeah, it's great. It's so rewarding." And I was like, "Oh hell yeah, we're in for a show." And then it just was all downhill from there.
I think Night Bitch makes this list. All right, Brad, what do you nominate?
I think that there's one movie that absolutely needs to be on this list, because it's probably, you know, just disappointing in all the ways that it could be. And that is, of course, Joker 2, Joker Folie à Deux, or whatever the fuck it's called. This is coming from, so let me be clear, this is coming from somebody who didn't love the first Joker, but the prospect of getting some kind of musical movie set in that world with Lady Gaga involved as Harley Quinn, there was something really intriguing about that premise. And the fact that it completely wastes her, has an incoherent story, doesn't have anything to say, even less to say than the first movie does, which is saying something, since that first movie's message was totally muddled. I just walked away from this movie feeling like I was punished for watching it. It's extremely disappointing. It's a waste of some great talents, because no matter what you think about the movie, Joaquin Phoenix is very good as Arthur Fleck. And I just wish that someone would have taught Todd Phillips how to direct a musical, or that he understood what a musical really was. Because this just doesn't deliver on anything that seemed like it was going to be promising about the sequel at all.
Yeah, I'm a Joker 1 fan. I'm the guy at Slash Film who actually likes the first one. And the fact that this seemed to be a blank check movie that costs so much, a musical with Lady Gaga, and it's such a wet fart of a thing. There's not a single scene of interest in this film. It is such a bizarre, like, miss. And not even like a fun bizarre, just everything feels miscalculated. And it should have gone big. It should have gone wild. It should have been a giant swing, a Megalopolis-style swing, and it's not. Disappointing is an interesting talk about here, because most people on this podcast don't like Joker 1, so they didn't have expectations for this. But I think the disappointment is the fact that it's so boring. It's not even fun to talk about. It's just boring.
I thought Joker 1 was also very boring, to be honest. I almost walked out of Joker 1, but I was watching it on a plane, so that was not logistically possible. And I was just like mad the whole time that I was watching it, because I was like, not only does this movie have little to no message, as Brad was saying, but I found it to be interminably boring. So it's almost impressive to me that Todd Phillips has managed to make two Joker movies, both of which have stirred up controversy, and they've both been the dullest movies, like, of their given year. It's almost impressive. Almost.
So I think this belongs on the list, but the thing that's holding me back, and I want to make sure here from everybody else, is the fact that most people seem to have soured on the first movie or didn't like the first one. Does that like make this not disappointing, that it was a bad movie? Or is it, or even if like people who didn't like the first one, were they at least intrigued enough by this being a musical with Lady Gaga that they at least got their hopes up and then were burnt? I just want to make sure we're like treating this probably as a disappointment, not just a bad movie.
Oh, I'm that person, because I hate Joker 1. And when they announced Joker 2 being a musical with Lady Gaga, considering how much Todd Phillips just unapologetically ripped off Scorsese, I was like, oh my God, are you going to give me New York, New York with Lady Gaga? This is everything. This is something I'm excited about. And then he gave me this? Fuck off forever, Todd Phillips. You're dead to me.
What if I were to say that I'm disappointed that it exists in the first place? Does that fulfill the criteria?
Ben, what do you think about this?
I have not seen Joker 2. I just have no interest in it after the abysmal reactions to it. But yeah, I'm kind of on Brad's level, the wavelength, in terms of like, I think the people got their hopes up and then we got this as the final end result. So I think they're probably the gap there between hopes and what the reality is probably big enough that I think it should be on this list.
All right. Joker 2's been bumped up.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so rather than go through again, since we have six movies locked in, we have Blitz, Beetlejuice, Gladiator 2, Joker 2, Kinds of Kindness, and Night Bitch locked in, with Megalopolis in discussion. I want to run through the list real quick and maybe remove some stuff from here that I think just simply isn't going to be a contender before we narrow down our final four here. I think Chris is the only person on this podcast who did not like Abigail. So I think we can probably cut Abigail from this list.
Good, because I don't want to burn anyone's house down. 10 out of 10.
All right, Abigail, you're gone. I know it's maybe not everybody's favorite, but I don't think Deadpool and Wolverine was that disappointing. I like it a lot. So is anybody going to fight for this one being like an actual contender here? No, it's gone. Okay. Who put the Fall Guy?
We just want to talk. Who put the Fall Guy on here?
That was me. I put the Fall Guy on here.
I hate to say it, Chris, but I think once again, you're the sole voice of dissent.
Man, that's here. Depressing because this movie sucks.
No, what's depressing is Matt's poor opinion, Chris.
I don't know what anyone is saying right now. Everyone's talking too much, but The Fall Guy is bad. It's a bad movie. It goes on way too long, but by all means, cut it. It's fine.
No, what that is a bad take, sir.
I just need you to know that the second you said it sucked, I had like immediately the Adam Sandler, you know something? You suck, like in my, just like in the chamber.
I really miss comedies that have like jokes in them. I'm really tired of this era of comedies where everyone is just like riffing endlessly. And this movie is like 2.5 hours of riffing. I mean, the stunts are cool. I mean, you know, it's got that going for it. But
as somebody who hates what you're talking about, Chris, because I totally agree. I do think that comedy, the writing in comedies is not anywhere near as sharp these days. And it's really missing like really firm like comedic minds. I actually think The Fall Guy is particularly funny, so
I don't know. I wanted to like it. It really did not work for me.
It's not gonna make our list, so we're gonna cut it, but I'm glad Chris had to say his piece, because we talked about The Fall Guy on yesterday's rom-com podcast and we're tongue bathing it, so I'm glad we got the dissenting voice in there. Speaking of our yesterday's rom-com podcast, did anybody here put Hitman, or is that somebody else on the site who put this on the dock?
I would never.
Yeah, no, never in my life.
Hitman's being removed is not in contention. Same thing, Long Legs. I mean, I get maybe it's not someone's favorite, but I don't know who on the site put this here, but they're wrong.
our writers are going to listen to this and be like, that was mine.
I haven't seen Queer. Is Queer like a really an actual fit for this? I feel like people have been mixed on it, but is it really disappointing? I mean, what's the vibe on this podcast?
It's I mean, I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's interesting. Daniel Craig is really good in it. I think it's 2/3 of a really good movie, and then the last act kind of shits the bed, but I don't think it belongs on a disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's expectations were so high that they were like, "Oh man, Queer was one of the most disappointing movies of the year."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I am very weird about this movie because on one hand, there are aspects of it that I think are really touching and really well done, and then there are some aspects of it that I'm like, I truly don't care. I feel like the ending kind of like undoes a lot of stuff with it, but I am also like nowhere near as like, I was not really hot on this movie from the get-go. So again, like, I don't know if that makes it disappointing to me. Maybe, I guess, in comparison to the stuff that he's made before, but I don't know.
But you don't think it's a top 10 most disappointing films of 2024?
No, I don't think top 10. No, I don't think so.
Speaking of films that I don't think belong on this list, and I like to have a talking to with whoever nominated this, if they're on this podcast or on the site, but why is Rebel Ridge on here?
I wonder if Danny put it on the list because she was disappointed with the ending, maybe?
Okay. That would make sense. But I don't think anybody on this podcast can argue for Rebel Ridge to be on our actual top 10, right?
Oh, hell no.
No.
Okay.
No.
Similarly, The Substance. I don't think The Substance Substance is a top 10 film of the year, so I don't think it belongs on this list either.
Yeah. Like, I can see somebody getting upset if they thought like that the movie was overhyped for them or something like that, which again, if that happens, that's not the movie's fault. You're upset at people hyping it for you.
Yeah, I think there are like very legitimate discussions to be had about The Substance, but I don't think it belongs anywhere on this list.
Yeah, we'll talk more about The Substance when we do our top overall films of the year list, because that movie is it's metaphor the movie, but I love it so much. Okay, I'm curious about Wolfs. Is anybody on this podcast like anti-Wolfs? I like Wolfs.
Yeah, I put it on here just because I think the prospect of Brad Pitt and George Clooney being in a movie where the two of them play fixers just sounds like so much fun, and the movie itself is just so profoundly okay that I thought that gap for me was pretty huge. And even John Watts, like, I don't know, say what you will about his work on the Spider-Man movies, most of which I actually think are, you know, pretty decent. But I think even if you'd just seen Cop Car, his first film, or first feature, I think, that was pretty good. And so I think the idea of throwing him
a horror movie about the evil clown costume.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, so yeah,
it's a legit really good movie. So.
Yeah, I think Cop Car was his second feature. But yeah, even throwing John Watts into that mix, I think beforehand, and seeing like Amy Ryan join the cast and being like, oh yeah, this could be awesome. And then it was just kind of like, oh, all right. So I don't know. I would actually argue for this to make our list, but I don't know if anybody else believes me.
I like Wolves just fine, but if other people agree with Ben, let's move it into In Conversation. Like, who else here has opinions on Wolves?
So I'm very much with Ben on this one, and I also have a theory about John Watts that I would love to bring to the table. John Watts, to me, is the new generation of John Hughes. And what I mean by that is that I think he works best when he's telling coming-of-age stories or dealing with that sort of age demo. That's when his voice is the strongest. I think he struggles with adults, and I'm sure that this means that eventually we're going to get his version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We're going to get something really awesome from adults, but he's not there yet. It's so weird. Clown. Yeah, I don't know if that tracks with anybody else, but that's how I feel.
I think Clown is this generation's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, so, you know, we're just...
Absolutely.
I'm a pro clown guy. It's a good movie. All right, I've moved Wolves up for a discussion because clearly people are have thoughts on it, even though I'm not sure how hard I'll fight for it. I'm not prepared to let it ushered in just yet, not until we've talked about a few more on this list. Let's briefly, The Strangers Chapter 1, not great, but did anybody have high hopes? Did anybody think this would be great?
I mean, I was really excited for it, and then it just it sucked so bad. And like, I was hesitant because the Strangers is such like a great movie, but I really had fun with The Strangers Pray at Night, and I was like, okay, you know what, I'm really into this idea of, you know, kind of remaking this, doing, you know, new chapters. I think that's going to be really, really cool. But Renny Harlin, buddy, why is this the movie you made?
It doesn't go nearly hard enough. It's not scary enough. It's not funny enough. It's not suspenseful enough. But also, I'm not disappointed by it. I think it just exists.
Yeah, that's fair.
Does anybody here have thoughts on Strangers, or can we just cut it from the list?
I got no thoughts.
Brad, I think you want to probably step in here and explain why Saturday Night shouldn't be on this list.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Saturday Night is nowhere near one of the most disappointing movies of the year. I don't know who put it on this list. I'm sorry that you don't enjoy good things, movies that are funny or joyfully chaotic and sharp and well scripted. This is one of my favorite movies of the year. I would fight anybody who wants to try and say it's one of the most disappointing movies of the year, because I think it's fantastic, both as somebody who loves Saturday Night Live and somebody who just likes well-made movies, because the way Jason Reitman moves the camera through Studio 8H and how sharp the script is and how great the ensemble cast is, like, I can go on and on and gush about this movie, but this movie is great. It should not be on the list.
I am also pro Saturday Night. I understand its issues, but the movie's real fun to watch, and I had a good time with it. I rolled my eyes a few times, but not enough for me. I think it's top 10 the most disappointing films of the year. I stand with Brad that this shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, I don't think it should be on the list either. I think it's a solid movie. I had a good time watching it. I think that's a good criteria, right? Like, I had fun watching it. If I didn't have fun, then it's maybe in the conversation for most disappointing.
I didn't really like this movie, but I didn't have high hopes for it. So I also don't think it belongs on this list.
You son of a bitch.
I'm going to propose something interesting. A movie I actually like, but I also think simultaneously belongs on the list. Alien Romulus. I like it, and I actually really enjoyed watching it, and will watch it again, while simultaneously thinking that this was not nearly as good as it should have been, and feeling maybe a wee bit disappointed, even though I think it's extremely effective and fun. I still feel like this should have been a slam dunk when it's just some other sports metaphor.
What if I agree with you as someone who also likes this movie?
I'm sure Chris is going to be thrilled about this.
I don't know. I can see it to a certain extent, but I don't know. I think the reason that I would be okay with it is only because I'm looking at the rest of the list, and I'm not necessarily sure if there's any movie that has as high of a profile and as much to live up to actually be as disappointing as something like Alien Romulus could be. So while I also am somebody who enjoys it immensely and likes it a lot, I think that it would be understanding if it was one of the more disappointing movies of the year for some people.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Chris, you hate this one.
I don't know. Maybe I do hate it. I was going to say, I don't know if I would say I hate it, but it's the least interesting Alien movie. That's how I phrase it. I feel like every Alien movie, excluding the Alien versus Predator films, which I think are like outside of continuity. Maybe they're not, but I don't count them. I think every Alien movie, even Alien Resurrection, has its own unique take on the franchise. Like, no two Alien movies are alike. Like, Aliens is vastly different than Alien. Alien 3 is different than both of them, and so on. And Alien Romulus is just a greatest hits compilation. It's literally just full of callbacks to the other movies. Like, it gets to a point where it feels like the characters in this movie saw the other Alien movies and they're quoting them, and that just really bugs me, man. Especially because I'm a big defender of the two Ridley Scott prequel films, especially Alien.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, like I like Prometheus, and Alien Covenant is, I think, even better. And I get that those movies aren't everyone's cup of tea, but this movie is so much like The Rise of Skywalker, in that it's very much a reaction to fan complaints. It's like, you didn't like the new stuff? Well, here's a bunch of stuff you recognize. And that to me is like lowest common denominator filmmaking. And that just really bugs me out, man. And it bums me out. And it bums me out that this is a minority opinion. Most people really love this movie. It was a big hit. And it just bums me out that everyone was like, this is what we want. We want stuff we recognize. And that's the complete opposite of what I want from a movie. So, like, I would be all for this being on the list.
I think this is number 10 on our list, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I say that as somebody who did enjoy this movie, because the way that I view Alien Romulus is very similar to the way that I view both Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and Scream 5, which is that I can practically hear studio notes of, you've got to connect it back to other things, when there's filmmakers desperately trying to do something like fresh and unique and like to push the story forward. But like, it's so clear that people like the powers that be are terrified that like casual viewers are not going to be able to like sink into it. So I am honestly hoping that he gets to make another movie and really gets to just fly with it afterwards. So like, it's weird. Like, this is the problem when, like, you know too much about how the industry works, is that suddenly you're like, well, do I consider this lowest common denominator filmmaking, or do I consider this what the studio system has become and people trying their best to work within those parameters? Like, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Okay, I guess here's a question I have for the group. Would anybody here agree with me that Monkey Man is, like, a revelation for its first half, and then its back half is not, and that's really disappointing?
I actually really enjoyed Monkey Man, and I didn't really have a problem with the turn that it takes in the back half, and I think it's far too stylish and well directed, and Dev Patel is too good in it to really be that disappointing.
Yeah, I think I would put like Maxine on this list before I'd put Monkey Man on there, because I think the ambition of Monkey Man is so much greater than Maxine, which is like another series of homages to, as BJ and I talked about when the movie came out, like a whole different type of movie making that isn't often homaged in mainstream movies. But I think after The Heights of Pearl, which is my favorite of the Ty West X trilogy, that Maxine was just more of a letdown for me. So I think that one makes more sense to me personally, but I don't know if I'm in the minority there.
I'll cut Monkey Man from the list. So Maxine conversation. I feel like a lot of people have been down on this one on Slash Film. I like to hear the conversation beyond Ben.
I just got to say, first of all, I'm in the weird category here, because of the trilogy, I think X is the best, and I seem to be the only one in the world who thinks that. Everyone says they like Pearl more, and I just think X is much better. That said, I'm genuinely befuddled that so many people do not like Maxine. Because honestly,
thank God.
it feels pretty much in line with the other two movies. Like, I don't really get why people don't like this. I think X is the best. So that, you know, make of that what you will. But I don't see a drastic drop in quality between these three films. And I don't quite get why so many people are down on this one. I really don't get it.
I have so many theories on this.
And like, I just want to counter, like, I'm not like saying that in a judgmental way. Like, you know, obviously there's stuff on this list that I put on here that you all love. Like, I'm not saying like, you're an idiot if you didn't like Maxine. I find it really weird that people don't like this, because to me it plays just as well as the other two movies.
Yeah, so I am, I think, the site's loudest and most passionate Maxine defender, but I went into this podcast today fully expecting it to end on the list. I also say this as, like, the universe's foremost fan of Grease 2. I am very much used to being the fan of, like, the sequel that everybody else doesn't like. But Maxine, I think, was a disappointment for so many people because they were expecting a very specific type of 80s homage movie, and they didn't get that. They got an homage to 80s movies that most people don't like. And so I get it. I get why people would be disappointed. It couldn't be me, but I also understand it. So if it does end up on this list, I'm not going to push back against it, because it is a subgenre film that most people don't like. And I get that. I accept that. And, you know, that's more for me then.
I kind of think Maxine needs to be on the list. I'm sorry, BJ.
That's fine. I have my Maxine jacket. I don't need anyone else's permission to like what I like.
Does anybody else have a word on this? All right, I'm bumping it into the list. How about we move Wolf's up in the list? The more I sit on it, the more I feel like Wolf's probably fits, even though I wouldn't put it on my personal list, but we're nearing the end here, and I think Wolf's fits better for this list than a lot of what's left in our pile here.
I kind of feel like Wolf's does not belong on the list because it's so low profile. Like, does anyone even know this movie exists? It came and went so quickly. It got that. It was supposed to have a normal theatrical release. Then Apple changed that. And I feel like it's such a non-entity in terms of the films that came out this year that it feels weird to have it on the list. Maybe that's me. It just, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to be disappointed about in a movie that people don't really know. I guarantee if you did like a poll of like quote unquote normies, they would have no idea this movie even exists. Like, if you were like, there was a new movie this year with Brad Pitt and George Clooney, they'd be like, there was? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel that way about Cuckoo and Drive Away Dolls, that they're just like too small to be on this list. But I feel like Wolf's deserves it because it's two of the biggest movie stars in the world, or like what, I guess, of the past 20 years, like what people would call movie stars, whatever that even means anymore.
I think I'd agree more if the movie was directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Hmm.
Yeah, real quick, can we delete Cuckoo and Driveway Dolls from the list? They're both good.
Yes, please, because those are the two that I was like I expected Maxine to be on the list. The other two I was about to start swinging to defend.
I wonder if maybe, and this, I know what the pushback for this movie would be, but I wonder if Here belongs on the list, because obviously our expectations have not been very high for Robert Zemeckis movies, but I think the prospect of taking such a unique premise from an acclaimed graphic novel and reteaming Tom Hanks and Robin Wright brought with it maybe the potential of Zemeckis getting his groove back. And it ended up just being messy and clumsy and saccharine and just really didn't work at all. But I just don't know if it's really disappointing or if it's just like, yeah, that's what we expected.
Zemeckis has stunk for so long. I have a hard time like getting any. This would have been a big surprise if it was good, but I'm not disappointed by the fact that it's bad, because
yeah, that's fair.
He hasn't made a good movie since Contact. No, Castaway. Castaway, I think, was the last good Zemeckis movie.
Yeah, this one is really difficult, though, because I think, like, for us, like, the people in this room, we were all like, yeah, that movie's gonna blow. But if you ask, like, any any of our moms be like, hey, the team from Forrest Gump is getting back together and making this like incredible thing where they're going to de-age him in camera. They'd be like, that sounds amazing. And they'd probably be really stoked for it and then very sad. So I think that's the balance of, you know, again, we all know too much about how things work.
Chris, is there a case for Salem's Lot to fill one of our last two slots?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm exhausted.
Wait Sorry. Till tomorrow. Wait till our top 20 of the year list.
I'm deflating. I don't know. I will say that, like, I had high hopes for this. Anytime a studio fucks with a movie, I almost automatically take the side of the movie because studios are notoriously run by people who don't actually like movies. They just like money. And so that means their taste kind of sucks. So anytime a studio, especially when the studio is Warner Brothers, which is now run by David Zaslav, anytime they tamper with a movie or delay a movie or kick the movie down the line, I automatically sort of jump into the fray and be like, I bet this movie is good. I bet the studio doesn't know what they're talking about. And I'm a big Stephen King fan. I'm a fan of this novel. And I like Gary Dauberman. I think Gary Dauberman is pretty good. He wrote the first It, the first of the new It movie, not the Tim Curry one, the Bill Skarsgård one. He directed Annabelle Comes Home, which is like one of my favorite of the Conjuring movies. I just think that's a delightful horror movie. So I was really looking forward to this, and it just stinks to high heaven. It's rushed. It's really ugly to look at. This was supposed to be a theatrical release, and it does not look like that at all. It looks bad. It looks like it just looks really cheaply made. They trim everything that makes the novel special out of it to make a more streamlined affair. And I get that they have to do that because they're making a movie. They're not making a miniseries like, you know, it was done before, but it's disappointing. It's a very disappointing movie. But, you know, I could see, you know, at this point, half the stuff I put on the list already got cut. So, you know, I'm not like fighting any battles here. Like, you know, whatever you guys.
I agree with you, Chris. I think Sam's Lot, I would rather see Sam's Lot on this list than a lot of what's left. I mean, currently, we have not really discussed or have discussed lightly. Juror number two, I don't think belongs on this list. I don't think Twisters belongs on this
list. I think the script for juror number two is atrocious, and no one is saying that, and I think everyone is a coward. I am the only one.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I really like juror number two.
Yeah, so me too, man.
I'm pro juror number two.
I feel like that script has like a classic feel to it.
Yeah, classic garbage.
I'll just jump here and say, like, I put Twisters in the list. I think Twisters is a very disappointing movie. I love the original Twister. I will never say the original Twister is a good movie. It's a very, very silly movie, but it's so entertaining. I rewatch it all the time, and it holds up so well. It's got that like great 90s action movie special effects feel where they were really trying cool things with special effects, and they were really, you know, doing stuff with them. And I really dig that movie. And that movie has so much charisma going for it. You know, it's got Bill Paxton, it's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. Everyone is just like firing on all cylinders in that movie. And Twisters, it felt like a really long truck commercial. It's like loaded with wall-to-wall country music, which I don't get at all. The original movie doesn't have that. Like, why are there all these songs on the soundtrack? I like Glenn Powell. Glenn Powell's a really likable guy. I completely understand why he's a star. I think Daisy Edgar Jones is a wet blanket. She's really bad in this movie.
I think she's terrible in this movie. Thank you.
And I don't think she and Glenn Powell have any chemistry together. So I know everyone made a big deal about the fact that they cut their kiss scene. I didn't care because I didn't buy them as a couple at all in the movies. So I don't know. And like none of the coolness of that first movie is on display in this movie. Like every scene with a tornado, except for maybe the ending with the movie theater, I thought that was well done. Every other tornado scene I thought was just really flat and filmed in this really unexciting way. I also think the movie is way too serious. Like, why is this movie about people who chase tornadoes so serious? It does not need to be this serious. The first movie isn't serious at all. And that's why I love it. So I had high hopes for this as a fan of the first one, as a fan of the director. I really love Minari. I thought that was a fantastic film. I went into this with high hopes, and I was really let down with it. Like, when it ended, I was like, oh, that's it, huh? Like, that's the big Twister sequel. So
here's my pitch for everybody. Let's delete from contention Here, Juror Number 2, and VHS Beyond. That leaves us with 4 movies and 2 slots, and we can have the discussion.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We have 2 slots left and 4 films. Megalopolis, Wolfs, Salem's Lot, and Twisters. I don't think Twisters belongs to those 2 slots. I like Twisters.
I'm going to level with you. I can't figure out if I had a lot of fun watching Twisters or if I'm a violently straight woman and Glenn Powell was on screen in a wet I really don't know. It's impossible to say. I don't know that it belongs on this list, but I also could be convinced. So convince me.
What if we put Wolfs and Salem's Lot in those last 2 slots and we let Twisters and Megalopolis survive and move on and not get listed?
Jacob, I feel like that would help you sleep at night, so I'm fine with it.
No, I it was my personal list. Megalopolis and Salem's Lot would go on there. But based on the temperature of this podcast and the fact that I like Twisters... I like Twitches more than Wolfs. It makes me think that Wolfs and Sam's Lot feel like the more correct fits for this list.
I mean, just to echo what everybody else was saying, it is categorically insane that a movie with George Clooney and Brad Pitt like made no splash whatsoever. That's wild. So yeah, I think that's fair.
How does the rest of the crew feel?
Yeah, why don't you read the whole list aloud and we'll see how it sounds.
Okay, in fact, I've already put it into a rough order. Tell me how you folks feel about this being a potential order. I'll put it in our chat as well. Number 10, Alien Romulus. Number 9, Wolfs. Number 8, Maxine. Number 7, Salem's Lot. Number 6, Joker 2. Number 5, Kinds of Kindness. Number 4, Blitz. Number 3, Night Bitch. Number 2, Gladiator 2. And number 1, Beetlejuice. I think based on temperature of the podcast, that felt like the right choice.
See, when I look at it like that, I can't fight it. Like, yeah, no, not really. I can't really fight it.
Yeah, seeing it laid out in front of me, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this looks good.
I might put Joker 2 higher, but that's just me, maybe.
I think Joker 2 is a little counterbalanced, but the fact that, like, it's right. We wanted a good Yorgos movie, whereas no one expected a good Todd Phillips movie. I'm going to kick myself for not getting Megalopolis on this. I think Megalopolis is such a pile of garbage. But, yeah, I'm okay with this list. Does anybody have any, like, severe, serious criticisms or recommendations for this list?
My only recommendation is that whoever writes up the Maxine prompt, because it will not be me, you link to my review so that the whole world knows I'm on the right side of history.
All right. Well, for people at home, one more time, our 10 most disappointing films of 2024. Number 10, Alien Romulus. Number 9, Wolfs. Number 8, Maxine. Number 7, Salem's Lot. Number 6, Joker Folly Adieu. Number 5, Kinds of Kindness. Number 4, Blitz. Number 3, Night Bitch. Number 2, Gladiator 2. And number 1, Beetlejuice. What a disappointing list. And by that, I mean a good list. By that, I mean, what am I even saying anymore?
I feel like that's why we're all so exhausted, because we're not arguing about stuff that we really like. We're arguing about stuff that bummed us out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, do you want to take us out of here?
Sure. All right. Well, you can find more about most of the movies that we talked about on today's show at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is typically published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.